Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Thursday afternoon. We welcome in Elliot Freeman, who joins us every Thursday at this time from Sportsnet. Hockey night in Canada. He does it all. Dirty thoughts. He does it all. And he now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Well, we had our first, you know, we knew it was when, not if. And, you know, unfortunately, it happened here involving the Predators on Tuesday night when we started getting wind Tuesday morning after we were talking about Monday night's game at Bridgestone Arena against the Hurricanes. We knew at the time Jordan Staal was out of the lineup. He was on the COVID list for Carolina, but started percolating Tuesday morning that, ruh-roh, this game could get postponed, and sure enough, it did. And now the Hurricanes have had to shut everything down, and it looks like they'll be shut down at least through the weekend and then reassess. Yep. But the Stars have gone through it. Unfortunately, right now it's been happening to teams in the Predators division, but this is what it is, and this is how the NHL will have to navigate through these waters for the rest of this regular season.
That's true, and I think the concern that you start to get here is, you know, how are you going to be able to catch up? There's not a lot of runway. And the season is compressed as it is. It's basically one game every 2 days, and there's a little bit of time between the end of the year and when the playoffs are supposed to begin. But, you know, this is really going to compress for certain players. It'll do for teams. We'll do it for Dallas. They'll do it for Carolina. And, you know, they haven't had any games canceled on their own accord, but all of a sudden Florida's had four.
Yep.
Kind of closed on them. So, you know, it's a real challenge. There's no for the schedule makers and for the teams. You know, I was talking about it last night with someone. You know, at what point are we looking at here where some teams don't get to play the full 56? And you hope it doesn't get there, but you see the challenges.
Well, that is a really good point. We've been talking about it on the show. Yes, there's been, you know, plans in place for when this happens to figure out, and we had David Poile on Tuesday, and I asked him, I said, you know, is the plan, you know, this game was supposed to be a home game. Whenever you can make up this game against Carolina, does it, you know, is it guaranteed that it's back here in Nashville, or does it have to be made up in Raleigh? How does that work? And he said, you know, yes, the plan would be for it to be made up here, but as this goes along and plays out, you never know. At some point, the league will just have to figure out however they can get a game in, they'll have to get a game in. But you're right, like as these games begin to mount, right, like how do you cram all this in? And initially you wanted to wrap things up by the first week of May. At some point, I wonder if that becomes impossible for some teams.
Well, there's a couple of things there. First of all, I would always say that David Poile knows more than I do, so for a lot of different reasons. But I do think we will get to the point. I know that the league has discussed what would happen if they have to play the game on the road. You know, for example, if it just makes sense, would they play the game just in Carolina, but Nashville would be the quote-unquote the home team? So they would get last change and everything that comes with that. I know that's been talked about. People, we may have no other choice but to do that. So that's definitely on the table. And, you know, as the league has said, if not everybody plays 56, it's going to come down to points percentage. And the other thing I talked about, and we taped one of our podcasts today for tomorrow, is if you guys are baseball fans, you know that sometimes baseball has games to make up over rainouts, and they don't get made up if they don't matter. Like if we come down to the end of the year and it's two teams that don't matter or playoff position doesn't matter, I wonder if that becomes a situation where they say, like, you know, say, for example, you know, we're getting late in the year and there's no place to make it up except for after the season's over. And let's just say, for argument's sake, you guys are locked into second place and Carolina's locked into third place. They simply say, we don't need to do this. But that's for a question that's way down the road. It's just something we're spitballing today as we were talking about it.
We've been scatterbrained today, so I'm going to fall on the sword if I did do this. Nobody has told me this, but I just started thinking about this in my head. Guys, did I say 30 thoughts out of the gates, or did I say 31?
Oh, who cares?
No, but if I left a thought out, that's on me. But like I said,
I think you said 31.
Did I say 31? Okay. We've been, like I said, we've been all over the place today, Elliot, so it may have been my time.
You notice I'm not saying
up.
Anything.
I knew you wouldn't, so I figured I'd jump in.
Everybody down there is thrown off by Ryan Johansson saying he has orangutan arms.
Yes, he did say that.
No, you guys are all thinking about that, so you're forgetting that, you know, other things are out there.
Oh, well, I hope I did say 31. If we had a naughty list, I know the holidays are past us. It looks like, with all this being said, that the Capitals would be on the naughty list. What are your thoughts on what just transpired with them in a hotel room?
Well, I mean, obviously last night when it happened, you're surprised. You're trying to figure it out what's going on there. I think there's two things here. I had a number of fans tweeting at me, and if you saw the Instagram post today from Alexander Ovechkin's wife, you know, she brought up a lot of people saying, hey, you know, they're together on the bench. They're together celebrating goals. You know, what's the big deal? And I think there's a couple of things at play. Number one is we're talking about here, we've had outbreaks in Dallas and Carolina, and they think, you know, everybody has to be disciplined in trying to contain them. But the other thing I think this is really about is it's about, you know, they have a team right now that isn't allowed to go home. And that's San Jose. And I'm not sure how familiar you are with what's going on up here in Canada, but they have some teams that are being given, the opportunity, because they're very strict on their testing and strict on their rules, to travel and across provincial borders that the general public really isn't entitled to. And, you know, we have I live in Toronto, we're in a lockdown. And the teams are allowed to play. And it's been, obviously, it's a bit controversial. And I think what the league is saying is that they're letting all these governments know that we are going to enforce our rules. They don't want any situation where some government can figure out that, oh, we've given you a possibility of both doing this and we've given you permission to do this and you're not being serious about it. And they want to get the Sharks back to San Jose. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you convince the people who make these decisions that you're serious about it. So I think that's kind of where this came from. If you read through the COVID travel protocols, it's pretty clear. You can't have anyone in your hotel room. The only people allowed in there are either people who clean the room or someone who needs to service the room. And it's when you're not there. As a matter of fact, the NBA changed its protocols to match the NHL protocols last week on hotel rooms. So, you know, I think that's what this is. Yes, it's making an example out of somebody. Yes, I think some people think it's really heavy-handed. But I see why the NHL is doing it. They have to send a message to the authorities that are allowing them to have some abilities that regular public can't have, that they're taking it seriously, and if they find a violation, they're going to punish it.
Talk to Elliot Friedman, 31 Thoughts. He's going to join us every Thursday again throughout the season. This is where you want to be to talk some good hockey. Elliot, I thought, and Matt Duchene echoed this. He does a weekly radio interview on our station in the morning. And it was a really well-played game between Carolina and Nashville. Nashville comes up short. And the question was asked to Duchene, you know, when he's watching other games, what does the quality of play look like overall? What kind of feedback are you getting? Matt said when he was looking at other games, he saw it a little bit all over the map. He felt really good about the quality of that Carolina-Nashville game. But in terms of not having, the customary training camp and the exhibition games and whatnot, what are you seeing?
Well, you got me at the wrong time, because I worked Toronto Edmonton last night, which was the worst game I've seen all year. And I was actually really disappointed, because that's Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, and it should be a showcase, and unfortunately it was a total dud. And then right after that, it wasn't a national game, it was Montreal Vancouver, which was 6-5 in a shootout and not a whistle in the overtime, and it was one of the best games of the year. So, you know, I think it's been a little bit scrambly. There were no exhibition games, and teams are going to probably practice less than they ever have. I mean, the only time teams are getting to really practice is a team like Florida, who suddenly got a ton of holes in their schedule. And sometimes I think the lack of practice is a good thing because it means less structure. And as you guys know, the less people play defense, the more entertaining it is. I think Duchesne's comment is pretty fair. I think it's kind of been all over the map. There have been some really good games. There have been some not-so-good games. I've seen some situations where back-to-backs against certain teams created a little more hate. I've seen some situations where it's created a little bit of boredom. I do like the schedule a lot, and I hope that the NHL goes to it in the future. But, you know, I just think the toughest thing, guys, is it's just the whole stress of playing while COVID. I mean, during the time of COVID, like, I think that, you know, you look at what's happened in Dallas, you look at what's happened in Carolina, I think it's nerve-wracking for people, and it's a real big challenge to play in the middle of.
Boy, I think you're absolutely right. So we'll try to stay on the hockey. It's more fun to talk about that than these things, but they're ever-present for sure. Of course, Nashville just had a game canceled with Carolina. They'll play Dallas, knock on wood, tomorrow for Dallas's first game. So they're right in the middle of this thing. Nashville, as you know, Elliot's got a lot of new pieces. So far, pretty good early returns. They're going to get Mikhail Granlund back in theory, maybe by Sunday, according to David Poile. Practice today. The quarantine is finally over. But I want to ask you about one specifically. Eric Halla. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Like, they just played Carolina. He started last year in Carolina. He gets moved in the season, and here he is in Nashville for a pretty good bargain. He's a couple years removed from a pretty special season, and this is his fifth team overall. So give me your thoughts on what is the realistic expectation of what they might get here.
Well, I think Eric Hall is a really good player. I think he's a really talented guy. Do you guys know what his nickname is?
Do tell.
His nickname is Eric Hall of Famer.
Okay.
And they gave it to him in Minnesota because he's a really confident guy. And, like, he thought it's kind of funny. One of his teammates explained it to me. He's very confident. He's a big believer in himself, which is nothing wrong with that. I got no problem with that. And, like, he thought he was he believed in himself so much that they joked that he thinks he's a Hall of Famer. So they started calling him Eric Hall of Famer. And it kind of stuck. And, you know, I just think that Halla, people like him. Like I said, he's a good player. But I think that this year he got caught in the contract squeeze. If you look around the league, same thing with Granlund, really. If you look around the league, how many forwards signed for big deals? Like, nobody. Taylor Hall got 1 year, $8 million. Toffoli got a deal with some term in Montreal. But a lot of forwards really got squeezed. And as a result, people got, you know, a good deal on good players. And I think your guys are one of them. He had a really tough year last year, like that whole situation between, you know, Carolina, Florida, and all that. It just didn't work out for him. And it was the wrong time to have a tough year. But I'll tell you this, I saw him in Minnesota. I liked him. I saw him in Vegas. I really liked him. Last year was a really rough year. I think he's a better player than he showed last year. And I think you guys getting him 1 year, $1 million was a great steal. Like, I know there was a ton of interest in him this year. And he simply got squeezed, and he could pick the best opportunity for him. I know Dallas was in on him. He chose you guys, and I think you'll benefit for it. I think he's a really good player.
All right, now we have a little story to tell for the broadcast tomorrow. So Darren, I know, is taking notes as well as I with the Hall of Famer. I was listening to you and Jeff on your podcast, you know, in your preseason rundown of the different teams. Maybe this is a little more wishful thinking on my part than it should be, but I'm curious to see Dallas. It's hard to quantify what the positive tests will do here to them at the start. But I just look at not having Bishop, not having Sagan for so long, and I just wonder, especially with the whole, you know, grind of the bubble last year, are they a little bit more vulnerable than it would appear for a team that's the Western Conference champion?
I think it's possible. Like, I'm really, like, one of the guys who's taken the longest to come back to practice here is their best player, and that's Haskinen. So you're always curious to know, you know, what does that mean? What's that going to mean for him? You know, he's a really critical player for them. He had a fantastic playoff. I mean, you just hope that he's back to 100% and he's ready to go for his own sake. But, you know, Sagan's a loss. Bishop is a loss. The one thing I think the teams that are best structured are best prepared to handle this. And the Stars actually do play with great structure. So when I look at them and I see what's the positive thing for them is that, you know, it's like the Islanders. They always play a certain way, no matter what happens. And with Dallas, I look at them and I say, they're going to have time to practice and get back into their structure. And I think that could really help them. You know, they need Khudobin to be just as good as he was last year. I agree with you that Sagan's a loss. I'm curious to see Haskinen, because he's a great player. I hope he's okay and everything. I just think their structure really helps them, guys, that you know that there's generally a way they're going to play. And for that, I think that'll be good for them. It's just a matter of, again, is Khudobin like he was last year? If the answer is yes, they're probably going to be fine.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts, the column and the podcast. I'm curious of, and I know it's early and it's going to get even more difficult once the American League starts playing, but from people you've talked to, how are you hearing that the whole taxi squad and moving players off the taxi squad to the main roster and then to the minor league roster, how do you feel that it's working so far?
You know, the only place that I really, and I know the teams are really upset about it, is the goaltenders. Like the Canadian teams in particular, with the quarantines, it's been a real issue for them. You know, Edmonton got really stuck, to the point where because of the quarantines and their schedule and, you know, in Canada, if you're outside the team bubble, you can't go across the provincial borders without quarantine. So it's a real challenge up here. And the fact that you have to put goalies on waivers to get them back and forth through your taxi squad, it's cost teams in a couple of places. I think everybody likes the flexibility. Everybody likes the ability to create themselves cap room. What they don't like is how some teams have been just clobbered in goal. Especially Edmonton, because their goaltenders are vulnerable. Now, I had looked into earlier this week if the league was going to change that, maybe create a situation where you wouldn't have to move the goalies back and forth that way, but I was told that this time it's not their plan.
Wow. Yeah, and I could see that being an issue. Another thing I wanted to ask you about that I read in your column, somebody that these guys got to know real well, and I remember seeing playing, Tom Fitzgerald, who's now the GM with the New Jersey Devils. You mentioned that this is basically a one-year contract for him. So explain that of just that whole process, and is this essentially a prove-it year?
Well, it's kind of a weird situation, right? You know, last year, you'll remember, there was a situation in the summer where you know, they were doing interviews for their general manager job. They had a lot of contenders. And then if you'll remember, John Chayka, the GM in Arizona, resigned. And there were a lot of rumors, and, you know, I was one of the people who created them, saying that he could end up in New Jersey in kind of a bigger role. And, you know, Chayka's situation, he's had a hearing with the NHL about what he's eligible and not to do. And as far as I know, there hasn't been a ruling yet. But so Tom Fitzgerald got the GM job, and I didn't think anything about it. And, you know, I think that I was talking to someone this week, and they mentioned that the rumor's kind of there about that he's got, like, a unique contract. Now, when Ray Shiro was still the GM in New Jersey, he had a long-term extension, and he gave Fitzgerald one too. But his contract, he was given a kind of, like, I don't know if separate deal is the right term, but he has a contract to be with the team for a while, and he's got a contract to be the GM, but the GM contract is only a year in length. So, you know, we'll see. New Jersey's off to a good start. I like the move Fitzgerald's made. And, you know, but the other thing, too, is that, you know, Fitzgerald used to be in Pittsburgh. They've had some changes there. You know, would that be something that Pittsburgh would consider? And I'll tell you something else, too. Someone else brought to me the point of Nashville. You guys have had some changes in your organization. Would you ever think of wanting to bring him there either? So, you know, like, it's just something that's popped up, like, and sort of industry gossip. That's what, you know, people kind of said to me, was that his structure is a little bit unique, and we'll see where it goes. But if, you know, the Devils, you know, it's been early, but the Devils look like they've been improved. If they continue to improve, that's very good for Fitzgerald's resume.
No doubt about it. Elliot, we always appreciate the visits every Thursday. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take good care.
All right, you too. That is Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts. Check it out. And we always enjoy his visits. With the holiday season over, the sports calendar is in full swing, including this week. From collegiate to professional sports, there's no shortage of action. There's no better place for you to get in on all that action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. If you haven't tried it out, DraftKings Sportsbook will tell you, what are you waiting for? Jump in there. To celebrate the football playoffs, DraftKings is going to give all new players a chance to bet on any of this weekend's professional football games at 100-1 odds. What do you have to do? That means you bet $1 of your money on any game this weekend, and if your team wins, cash that $100. And while the football playoffs are going on this Sunday, don't forget, basketball season is tipped off. Jump in there, get the app, download it, and take advantage of the daily odds boost. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Make it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Right now, use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, get 100-1 odds on any football game this weekend. That code again, 1025GAME, for new players to get a shot at $100 on any football action on Sunday. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, you must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions do apply if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help. Call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.